I'm glad God is an unchanging God. You can count on Him. He comes to church every service. Amen. Never misses a service. Always here. And also, even the devil's more faithful than some of the people. He's always here too, or some of his spirits show up. You know, I don't think the devil himself is here. I don't think we've ever even met that slimy thing. And when we do, we're going to find out he had troubles of his own. We just blamed him for a lot of things. Amen. Amen. But it's easy to put all the blame on the devil. And he's no good. He's ornery. He's that spirit that thinks evil, and there is evil all around us, evil influence. That's all the devil, you know. Anything that's not of God, you can call it a devil if you want to. But try to be nice to your mother-in-law. But, you know. All right. You know, I told you about that man that was dancing in the spirit, you know. Just, I love everybody. I love everybody. And he opened up his eyes and his mother-in-law was standing right in front of him. He said, almost everybody. Matthew, y'all supposed to laugh even if you have heard it before. Matthew 14. Matthew 14. You don't have to leave, Brother Rick. Oh. I hadn't even got into the good stuff yet. Okay. Getting excited before I get started, huh? We're talking about a God who specializes in impossibilities. He never, in the Word of God that I've studied just about all my life, I've never seen God to do things exactly like He expected to be done. He doesn't depend upon the way of humanity to get His work done. You know, we think we have to have so much, we have to have so many, we have to have things in a certain order and have so much this done just right, that done just right, and then Jesus comes, scrambles all of our plans up and does it another way. Our programs don't always work. Our plans aren't always carried out. But it's always good to plan ahead. It's always good to kind of know where you're going, look ahead, try to have some direction. It's good to prepare a sermon sometimes even. In fact, it's always good to be prepared, even when you're going to testify. You may not do what you're prepared to do, but just be ready anyhow. Some of my best messages have never been preached. They were good when they came to me, but I don't know. Maybe they were just for me. But I could just, you know, at the time when I was feeling the unction of the Holy Ghost and feeling like this is God's will, it was good. But after meditating on it and hearing from God, what I thought was going to be really something for you to hear, never did get preached. Or maybe it did. Maybe God was dealing with me. Sometimes we hear from God and God does things in ways that we don't understand. Do you know you and God is all it takes to defeat every devil and every imbecile that's like the devil on the face of the earth? You and God. Or maybe I say God and you. I told somebody today, the name of Jesus will put every bad spirit on its face. Just the mention of His name. Our God specializes in impossible circumstances. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, Jesus is with His disciples. He constrains them in verse 22 to get into a ship and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. He's been healing people and been really busy helping people. And so now He is going to have another adventure with His followers. When he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. He was there alone. But the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Amen. Now, I'm not here to say God plays games. But I'm here to say that's not exactly how they expected things to be that night. They had been with Jesus all day. Miracles and wonders and signs and healings and tremendous blessings. And they were jubilant, I'm sure, at the victory and the power of God through Jesus to be able to open the blinded eyes and set the captive free. Now Jesus goes up to pray and be alone. And he says, you go on across and I'll join you later. And so where he is, there's peace and contentment. But where he sends them, there's chaos and confusion. Disarray. I mean, Jesus sent us. I know I'm sent of God. I know I've been called. But why is everything rocking like this? Why is everything about to turn upside down for me? Why is this whole ship about to fall apart? But he did send me. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like God called you and chose you? And everything seemingly was shaking and tumbling and tossing? Well, don't throw up your hands and quit and be in despair. It's just sometimes it's not the way we expect it to be. But remember, just as Jesus came walking on the sea, which is impossible. It's absolutely impossible for a person to walk on the sea. I've tried it. I can't do it. I can float, but I can't walk. I can roll over on my back and swim on my back. My toes come out on the surface. I can do that. I'm just like a big bubble out there. I can do that. I can float. I can swim. I can dive in. I just bob up like a bobber. I'm just full of wind, I guess. I can't stay under. But for the life of me, I can't stand up and walk on top of the water. There's only one. Well, I think there was another one. Maybe one of the Blues Brothers did it in a movie I saw. But the only one I know that really can do it is Jesus. Amen. But look at the situation. Here are the disciples. They've been watching Jesus do his great work. Now Jesus is alone praying, and they're together going after Jesus told them to go somewhere. And it's just stormy, and it's just rough. And the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out with fear. They'd been with Jesus all day. They'd been watching these miracles. But something about when you get in the midst of the storm, in the midst of your problem, in the midst of chaos and confusion, you need to be reminded that Jesus can take care of the situation no matter what it is. And sometimes when you've been with Jesus and watched him to help others, it's good to be reminded he can help you too. And Jesus uses everyday life experiences to teach lessons. He doesn't always use the Bible and people standing in the pulpit. Sometimes he lets you get into the mess that you get into and comes right through the wall that seemed to be a barrier. Comes right across the waters that seem to be in the way. He comes right there where you are when there seems to be no way to show you that he is the master of the impossible situations. Straightway, Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, I kind of question Peter's wisdom here. Because what if it hadn't been Jesus? Lord, if it is you, tell me to come out there where you are. Okay, what if it had been some spirit out there walking like they thought it might be? Okay, Peter, walk to me. So you need to make sure that when you think it is Jesus, before you turn loose of what you got a hold of, make sure it is Jesus. But there also must have been some faith in Peter, because I think in reading these scriptures, even though he said, Lord, if that you, bid me come unto thee on the water. Even though he said that, I don't believe he would have said it if he had not already thought that must be him. No, I wouldn't. No, I'm not that foolish. And then when Jesus said, come, Peter started walking on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But then when he saw the wind boisterous. Now watch this scene. I know we've heard it, but it's good to be reminded. Here he is. Now he's been with Jesus. He's seen the miracles and the healings. He has been sent by Jesus to go somewhere else. And then trouble came. And now Jesus appears in the midst of the trouble and offers a plan to let him know, you can do the impossible, and I'm here to help you do it. So come on into these impossible waters with me. And then he starts out and turns loose of his security, the boat that he's standing on, and steps on the impossible waters. And then, in that short distance between Jesus and himself, something else goes wrong. Miracles are happening, but there's also the man of God who is learning some lessons. Man, woman, boy, and girl, sometimes we need to learn some lessons. That God can do anything but fail. And we need to learn to trust Him no matter what the situation is. No matter how much the wind seems to blow. No matter how impossible it seems that we can do the job ahead. Or no matter what it feels like or looks like. Let's look for Jesus in all this. And when we find Him, let's learn the lesson. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your heart tuned to Jesus. Because there's a lesson being taught here. When things go wrong, when Jesus is doing a work in your life, stay focused. Stay focused. Maybe we ought to get some of that focus factor. Stay focused. When Jesus is doing a work in your life, stay focused. Don't look to the right. Isn't this scripture? Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Don't we read about a straight and narrow road? The highway of holiness. The straight and narrow. Don't we read in the scripture that we're not to waver? And we're not to just follow off after this or follow off after that. Don't pay attention, in other words. This is what we see right here. Don't put your eyes upon the problem. Put your eye on Jesus. Don't get your mind all confused over the fact that this is going wrong and that's going wrong. Because when Jesus said, come to Peter, and when Peter turned loose of what he was doing and started going to Jesus, for a moment, Peter was doing the impossible. Peter was doing the impossible. Peter couldn't walk on the water, but God was walking him on the water. It was only when he took his eyes off Jesus and saw the wind and what it was doing, saw the waves and what they were doing, and saw the trouble that he could be in. If, I mean, we've never been in this spot before. Now, you can parallel this and relate this to your financial situation. If you have one, I think most of you are rich, right? Did you know Jesus can come walking right into your financial situation when it seems impossible that you can pay the bills? He can walk right out there where you are when that wind is blowing and when that hot air is coming over the phone from those people wanting to collect from you. And when confusion sets in and He can say, "It is I. Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. I know your bills are difficult to pay, but I'm here. Be of good cheer."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, here's what you can do in your financial situation, just as Peter did with the water. It depends on where you are, what the situation is, what the impossible thing is that's going on. In this case, it was a storm, it was water, it was a problem, it was chaos, it was confusion, bewilderment. And Jesus appeared on the scene of all that. But what if you were just dead broke and people were hounding you for money? Even though you've never been there, just suppose it could get that way. And you find yourself knowing that God has called you, knowing that God has sent you, knowing that God is with you. But it seems all of a sudden everything else is going wrong. And then in the midst of that, you feel and sense a presence. You go to church and you get that, whew, hallelujah, feeling.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory.
Right in the midst of your clouds and your darkness, Jesus starts coming your way. The singing and the clapping of the hands, somehow in the midst of all those financial despair moments you've been going through, the burden is lifted. And you find yourself doing what Peter did many times. "Lord, I know that You're blessing me. Let me be where You are. Let me enjoy being in the midst of Your presence. Let me get a blessing when it's impossible for me to be blessed right now."
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. And you're able to be blessed.
Yes, Lord.
When Monday's still coming, but it's not here yet.
Oh.
And I'm free right now. Hallelujah! Thank God for weekends. Thank God when the credit collectors go home for the weekend. Amen. I got time to be with Jesus. No telling what's going to happen to this storm when Jesus gets through with it. You know what? If I were in financial trouble, I think I'd just stay in church and just praise the Lord. I guess that's why I do. Oh, what if it's sickness? What if it's sickness? All week long, you've had your head down. You've been going through a tough time, feeling bad, feeling sick, feeling hurt. Just body hurts. It's a stormy time. Then you find yourself listening to some testimony.
Hallelujah.
And you feel the presence of Jesus.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. In the midst of the storm. It seems that He's calling to you. "It is I. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid." Have you ever noticed, even though you come to church feeling bad sometimes, you leave here feeling better? Hallelujah. Because He teaches us lessons in the midst of our adverse situations. "If it be you, let me come and walk on the water and come to you." And Jesus said, "Come." So when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous and he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" In our language, it's, "Hey, you. What made you start thinking I couldn't do it? Hey, dude. Hey, when I call you to do stuff, then do it. Quit thinking about how hard it might seem to be. Just do it." This is what he's saying. You came down out of the boat and you walked on the water. Why don't you think that I'm able to take you all the way? Why do you find yourself feeling down when you're this close to a miracle? Why do you feel like you're sinking when you're already doing the impossible? You're already living for Jesus. You've already come a long ways by faith. You've seen the miracles. You know He can do these things. And now He's calling to you. Come unto Me. Oh, even though you're weak, even though you're weary, even though you're burdened, come unto Me. Come unto Me. But Lord, it's impossible. But if it's really You, bid Me come to You. Go, 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 go. And on your way, you might meet with difficulty, but keep your eye on Jesus. Don't get so close to a miracle and don't see it through. Go all the way. He didn't bring us this far to let us down. As I said this morning, almost is never good enough. I don't want to almost get to heaven. I don't want to almost be saved. I don't want to almost do the will of God. Why did you doubt? You can't doubt and believe God at the same time. You either got to get rid of the doubt or you're going to lose your faith. Faith and doubt do not mix. There's just no way. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Tracy and Stacialist, and who? Luca? Need prayer tonight. Let's pray. Unspoken needs. God, right now. Come in the midst of this impossible, adverse moment that these people are going through. Jesus, You can do anything but fail. Help them to believe and receive and know that You're the master of the storms and You're the master that rolls the clouds away. You're the master who calms the wind and stops the waves. You're the master that has control over every disease and every sickness and every problem. In Jesus' name. So anyway, Peter had to learn the lesson. You don't doubt when you start out. Or you may find out that you be out. You got to keep believing. Keep believing. Keep believing. Especially when you're that close. That close. When they were come into the ship then, Peter and Jesus came into the ship, the wind ceased. So that kind of tells me, even while he was walking on the water, that wind was still blowing. He was doing the impossible in the midst of the storm. He was doing the impossible when it was still really impossible. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him. They should have been doing it all the time, I would think. Saying of a truth, You are the Son of God. Why does it take so much to convince some people that Jesus is who He is? And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of Him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto Him all that were diseased. And this looks like an impossible situation. You know, if a big celebrity were coming my way and I wanted to give him a welcome committee, I think I would like to send some healthy folks. Send some people that are feeling pretty good. But this welcome committee is all the sick folks, all the diseased, all the people that are really hurting. But there's a reason for it. His reputation had gone ahead of him. Amen. And they brought him these sick people and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. You know, this is the same Jesus we serve tonight. If you can touch Him, you can be made whole. Perfectly whole. I don't think Jesus loved those people that were brought to him that day any more than he loves you. Hey, see yourself in the multitude before Jesus tonight. If Jesus healed them, find out what caused it to happen. How did they all get healed? How did that happen? Praise God, same thing can happen to you. If you can touch him, you can be made whole.
Hallelujah.
Well, I got the Holy Ghost. How much more of a touch can you get? That could be the thought that might come your way. You know, you can receive the Holy Ghost and still lose your touch. The Holy Ghost is there, but are you there? I believe God can heal those people over yonder. I believe it when the million people get the Holy Ghost and Africa and 17 dead people raise up from the dead. It happens over there. Woo! I believe that, my Lord, that crippled people are throwing away their crutches in Louisiana. And I believe that God is able to open the blinded eyes, just like those reports that are coming in from over on the other side of the world. I believe He can do it for those people. It must be that they don't have television and they don't have movies and they don't have ball games. They don't have all this recreation. All they've got to do is just maybe go to church, and that's why it's happening for them. Look, the reason it's happening for them is because they're touching Him. God doesn't love Africans anymore, and He loves you. Or the Irish. Nor does He love them less. He just teaches a lesson. Hey, bring me the sick and the disease and all the people that are hurting. And if you want to know how to get it straightened out, see what they did here, and you do that. Well, wait a minute, I'm still sick? And I got the Holy Ghost. Does that mean I'm not touching Him? Well, I don't know why you're not healed, but I know this. The Word of God says when they touched Him, He healed them all. I'm not saying you're backslid or you're without God if you've got a headache tonight. But I know if you can touch Him about that headache will go away. Hallelujah. I've seen it happen too many times in my life. I have seen the Lord deliver me personally from a broken back. One moment my back was broke, the next moment my back was not broke. And the difference from one moment to the next moment was a group of Jesus-named people gathered around me while I was paralyzed on a concrete slab on Mount Crest in the northern part of Arkansas after jumping off of a double bunk bed that I was trying to use for a trampoline. And I went sailing in the air and came down on my back on that uneven concrete floor and broke my back. I know I broke it. Couldn't move a finger. And they were standing around me saying, in Jesus' name. And I jumped up. No pain, no problem. And I didn't have it. I know I had a broken back, and I know the back was put back together because somebody helped me to touch Jesus. And if He can take my little sister on the bed of affliction when polio has her in its grips, and the doctor says there's no hope, she'll never walk again, she'll never talk again, she'll never be able to eat normal again, she'll be paralyzed like a vegetable for the rest of her life. And at the name of Jesus, the people gathered around her and said, Jesus! Somebody touched Him and she jumped up. If that didn't just happen 2,000 years ago, that happened to my sister in my lifetime, and I'm a witness. If God did it for Brenda, He can do it for all of us. If He ever was able to heal them all, He's still able to heal us all. What we need to do is get rid of our doubt. You want to be healed tonight? You want to have a miracle tonight? Start walking on the impossible waters. Start going to Jesus and get your mind on Jesus. Get your mind on your faith. Get your hope and your trust focused. And look to Him. Believe on Him. Reach for Him. Touch Him. And be made whole. Hallelujah. You don't have to go to some healing evangelist to get it done. You go to Jesus. It's not a condemnation sermon now. I'm not saying if you're sick and you're people and you're having problems that you're not with Jesus. I'm just saying, if you want to get that straightened out, find out what it takes to get the doubt out of your mind, to really believe. It's the Word of God. It's been here all the time, and it works every time. Every time. I know we come up with these cop-out excuses. Well, you know, not everybody in that community got healed. Well, here, all the ones that came to Him and touched Him did. And there were all, as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Why did you have doubt? Then came Jesus' scribes to Jesus, the scribes and Pharisees, which were in Jerusalem. And they said, why? Why do your disciples transgress the traditions? Why is your church different? How come y'all are not mainstream at all? Why do your disciples go against what we believe? They don't wash their hands when they eat. And he said, well, why do you transgress the commandment of God with your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. He that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites. Jesus said that. I thought he was a nice guy. You hypocrites. He knows who we are, what we are. You hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you, saying, these people draw nigh to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And that commandment, you better wash your hands before you eat, was not a commandment of God. And he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. Everybody say hear.
Hear.
And understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said to him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? You upset some of those religious people. And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath planted shall be rooted up. Hey, look, if you're feeling like you're planted, if you're feeling like you're a child of God, that God has placed you where you are, expect to be rooted up. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Now let me say that again. I said it wrong. If you're not having faith, and if you're not believing, and if you're not trusting, and if you're not holding on, expect to be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, where do they go? They fall in the ditch. These are the Pharisees that were offended because Jesus taught, it's not that which goes in, but it's that which comes out. Then answered Peter and said unto them, declare unto us this parable. Jesus said, Are you also without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. And they defile the man, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thieves, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Hallelujah. And I'll be closing soon, but watch, it just goes on and on. Right after that, Jesus goes to another place, departs, and a woman of Canaan comes out of the same coast where he comes to and says, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She's crying after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now this woman was very persistent. This woman, no matter what it seemed like, no matter what it felt like, no matter where she's coming from, did not let the powerful, strong words of the Lord set her back. She came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Same thing Peter said just before he was lifted up again. Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, the carnal mind or the person that has no understanding may read this and say, that doesn't sound like he's being very fair. What kind of Jesus is this? Lady's asking for help. She got a daughter that's sick with the devil. And she comes to this kind, compassionate Jesus that just got through healing a whole multitude. And she says, help me. Help me with my problem. Help me with my need. I got a problem. He more or less called her a dog. But it's another lesson to be taught. It's another lesson being taught. No matter who you are, where are you coming from, what life has brought into your life, what kind of circumstances are in your family, or what you're involved in, or what it is that is your heritage, no matter what, don't stop approaching Jesus. Don't stop believing He can do it. Don't stop believing that He'll find a way for you to make it. Don't stop believing even though everything seems to go against it. Even when it seems like God Himself is against it. Keep worshiping Him. Keep worshiping Him. She was not of the faith of the household of Israel. And Jesus was not there to mistreat the lady, but He was teaching a lesson even to His own disciples. A lesson concerning faith. Faith without doubt. And He said to her, I am sent, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. She's not arguing with Him. She's just continuing, standing before Him. She's a little stubborn lady. Won't give up so easy. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know what this tells me? You can even be a person that's not yet in the household of faith. Out there wandering in the affairs of life with a problem. And you can come to Jesus, and Jesus is blessing His church. Jesus is blessing His people. Jesus is feeding His Christians with the Word of God and helping us to be strengthened. And you can come to Him undeserving. You can come to Him with your need. I don't care who you are on the internet, how you've lived or where you've been or who you are, where you're coming from. When you got a need, your daddy's sick, your mama's sick, your child is sick, there's a problem in your house, there's a problem in your family, Don't stop worshiping Jesus. Even if you feel unworthy, even if you don't go to church, even if you're not one of those Christians, there's a need. We're serving a kind, compassionate God. He may preach to you a little bit and say, you're not serving Him. You're not living for Him. You're not working for Him. You're not going to church. You're not being faithful. You're not paying your tithes. You're not living for God. But stand there and say to Him, but yet, Lord, even us sinners out here get to enjoy the good things of God. We get to enjoy the good things of God too. You bless your people, and we find blessings along the way. Oh, Lord, I worship you. Hey, sinner friend, you got a problem in your house? Worship God right now where you are. I don't care who you are. Jesus has shown us in His Word, you can come to Him, and you stay with it. You stay with it. You stay with it. Believe, 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 believe. And watch that daddy be healed. Watch that mama be healed. Watch that child come out of that vexation of spirit. It's impossible. Yeah, but He's the master of impossible circumstances. Yeah, but I thought God would not hear a sinner's prayer. Hey, if you keep calling on Him, keep looking on Him, keep believing on Him, keep trusting in Him, you're not a sinner right that moment. You ceased being a sinner. You might have been one who sinned, but right now your mind is on Jesus. Right now your focus is on Jesus. Right now your faith is on Jesus. Right now your trust is on Jesus. Right now your heart is on Jesus. You can't keep from getting some kind of results when you get in that position.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And Jesus says, woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole. And Jesus departed there. And He went to the Sea of Galilee and went up to the mountain, sat down there. Great multitudes came to Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, many others, casting down at Jesus' feet. And He healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak, the maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see. They glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. And His disciples say, well, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness to fill so great a multitude? Again, it's impossible. Can't be done. No way, Jose. Would you stand? Would you stand and consider? Close your eyes a moment. Picture yourself standing out here in the middle of a field with no food. Haven't eaten for 3 days because you forgot what you were doing. So excited about the things of God. Miracles. I'm telling you, you can get caught away so much you can forget to eat. But see yourself standing there, suddenly it dawns on you, you're hungry. You're hungry. You're really hungry. Amen. And then Aaliyah is the only one that brought a sack of McDonald's food to church. We all smell that hamburger. There's a time when even a Big Mac would be delicious. You're hungry. You've been with Jesus and you just didn't think about eating. You've just been having a good time. And all of a sudden in the multitude, one little child that had the forethought to bring his lunch shows up with just a couple of little fish and a few little loaves. And Jesus said, that's all you need. I'll take care of the whole multitude. You ever wonder what would happen if He hadn't had that kid with that food? He'd have fed them anyhow. But there was a lesson to be taught. No matter how small it seems, no matter how insignificant what you have may seem to be willing to give it all to Jesus. I heard people say, if I had a little, I'd give as much as I could. But if I had a lot, I think I would give less. Well, they didn't say it in exactly those words, but they said, you know, one fellow told me, you know, he'd been paying his tithes, $75 every couple of weeks and so forth. This was years ago. And one day he said, I'm coming into, oh, it was a big hunk of money. He said, I'm coming into it in just a few days and I'm going to give my tithes to the church, which was fine, you know. But when he got his money, he skipped out. He left. Nobody knew where he went. Another lady was given, and not that money's a big deal. I mean, we can make it without your money. Jesus is able to take these stones and raise them up and make bread out of them. Hallelujah. But picture yourself here in the midst of all this. A lady came to my dad. She said, I got $500,000. She said, I gave $50,000 to my daughter, gave $50,000 to my son. Now here's your part. I forget the amount. I think it's $50. This is years ago when we were struggling. But is it my part? Is it your part? Do we not owe God just as much when we have a lot as we do when we don't have much? This little boy proved a lesson. You give what little you've got to God, and God can spread it out to the whole multitude is satisfied. Little is much when God is in it. And if we had a lot, if you had a lot in your eyes, give that to God too. Because that's not so much. Amen. There are a lot more needs than what your lot can take care of. But God can take that and feed the multitude too. Anyway, here we are. We're in this field. We don't have any food. We're hungry, but we've been enjoying the blessings of God. He commands the multitude to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them, gave it to his disciples, the disciples to the multitude. Now that wasn't a thing that just suddenly happened. It takes time to pass out thousands and thousands and thousands of fish and loaves. It takes time to feed thousands of people. Don't you know that there was a great move of God going on in that miracle of the loaves and the fishes being passed out? You talk about a Holy Ghost move of God. Yeah, I believe I could live for God if I saw something like that. Hey, we see it every time we go to church. I come here hungry and I get fed. Sometimes just one of you gets blessed and I get it too. Hallelujah. My Lord, He passes it around. There's a lot left over before I get through with these services. Amen. So He commands them to sit down. All right, I want you to sit down. Pretend you're sitting on the ground. Sit down in your chair. Amen. Here's food for all of you. Now, hold it in your hands. You've got your loaves. You've got your fishes. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Did you go fishing to catch those fish? Did you go bake that bread to get what you got to eat? Did you do all this tonight? Did you do all that had to be done in order for you to get blessed tonight? No, you didn't have to. All you had to do is be in the group where the blessings are flowing. That's why we don't need to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Where Jesus is, there are miracles happening. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we have feasted today. We have feasted tonight. And they did all eat. And they were all filled. And they did take up the broken meat that was left. 7 baskets full. And they did eat. They that did eat. In this case, were 4,000 men besides women. No telling how many it was. All those women and kids out there. Now let's stand again. Hallelujah. It's storming, Lord. I know I'm doing Your will, but it's rough out here. Lord, if that be Your will, let me be in Your presence. If that's You, come. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Oh God. Oh God, I'm sick. Touch me. Be made whole. Lord, my daughter's sick. And I'm not serving you. But I get blessed anyhow just by feasting on what's left over sometimes. Your daughter can be well. Lord Jesus, I'm hungry. Be fed. And what did you do deserving of this? You were just here. And Jesus was here to meet your need. Let's worship Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. My God, 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 my God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Amen. I saw a lady who had one leg much shorter than the other. She had one of those real built-up shoes. She came to church in Arkansas when my dad was pastoring, and I was just a child. And I saw her come in there, and she asked that God would make her legs to be even. And she stood there, and when he got through praying, she had to take off that big shoe. I'll never forget it. Because all of a sudden, where she had been walking straight because she had this one big thick heel, and then the other was a normal shoe, she'd been walking normal. But when she started to walk away from that prayer, she walked like this because that large shoe sole was way too large. And she took both of her shoes off and walked down the aisle without a limp. Hallelujah. I saw that with my own eyes. If God can do that for that lady, He can do anything for anybody who has just that much faith to come to Him, regardless of how impossible it may seem. Let's praise Him again. He's wonderful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, while you're here, while you're in this presence, while we're talking this kind of faith, maybe there's somebody here that needs this encouraging word to say you can be healed even now. And you don't have to go away here from here disappointed. This Jesus that we're talking about is real. This God we're speaking about is a real, true God. This Word is the Word of God. This anointing comes from God. This inspiration is God sent. We're here for you tonight. We're here. God and God's people gathered together. Maybe one person in this group would like to say, and I'm here to touch God, and I need you people to help me touch God, and I want to go home different than the way it was when I came. You can do it tonight. We're not big in number, but we got a big God here. Hallelujah. If you really believe that God can perform a miracle in your life, walk up this little aisle and stand here and don't look to the right, don't look to the left. You believe God and focus on God and let God handle the problem. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Don't think about what if, just believe. Believe God tonight. He can do it. He can do it. He has done it. If you got, I don't care what the condition is. I don't care how impossible. I don't care what it feels like or what the doctor said or how it feels or seems. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus heals. Jesus sets the captive free. Touch Him and be made whole. Lift your hearts to Jesus tonight.
Lift your minds and your hearts to Jesus. Believe on Him. You don't have to have me touch you. You don't have to have any preacher lay hands on you. You don't have to have anybody do anything. You touch Jesus with faith right now. I promise you, somebody's going to walk away healed tonight. Somebody's going to receive a miracle tonight. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My God, when it starts happening to you, just let it keep on happening. Don't let a part miracle. Don't almost get healed. Don't almost get blessed. Don't come real close and then start feeling like you're going down. Go all the way. Cry out, "Help me, Lord." Reach out, touch Him. Let Him lift you up. Let Him help you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Got a family problem? Hey, there have been people that went to Jesus with a problem in their home, with a problem in their children, with a problem in their family. And Jesus took care of the problem even before they got back home. Hallelujah! That little girl with a devil. There's a lot more of that story than me. See, maybe you got somebody in your family with a devil. Go to Jesus with it. Go to Jesus with it. God can handle any devil in any family. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God. A lady, Sister Yeager, I knew her for years. She was a very loving God woman, middle-aged lady who went to our church faithfully. When she was a young lady, she went to a revival meeting. She was totally blind, could not see at all. And the people were talking about faith and believing God and trusting God. And when I was a child, from childhood until just a few years ago when she passed away, I kept hearing that lady talk and her family talk. I was there. I saw it. I heard those sons, Charles and Bernard Yeager, talk about, "Yeah, it happened to Mama." I heard her husband say, "Yes, it's true. I saw it with my own eyes." What did they see? Sister Yeager was standing there with her hands uplifted, blind, couldn't see a thing, calling on the name of Jesus, and suddenly she started shouting, "I can see! I can see!" And she spent the rest of her years, about 40 more years, without blindness. Bypassed medical science. Bypassed everything. Because it was impossible. She couldn't see. The crippled man at the gate couldn't walk. But he did. Hallelujah. Sister Emerson with her broken leg couldn't get up and shout like she did that night. It was broken. But she did. Hallelujah. Brenda could not get over polio in one moment, but she did. Hallelujah. A brother came to our church with a big cancer on his face. He said, "If you folks will believe me, believe with me." He said, "I've had this cancer for 12 years. It's eating me up. It's eating up my face. But next Wednesday night I will return here. With the help of God, my cancer will be gone." The next Wednesday night, 7 days later, the man walked into the church with a face like a baby. No sign of cancer. I saw it with my own eyes. If God did it for him, Sister Fern Holcomb went to the doctor. The doctor said, "You're dying. You might as well get ready to die." She had cirrhosis of the liver. There was no hope that she could live. Her liver was gone. The saints of God started praying on Wednesday night. She was in the hospital on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But on Sunday night, she was standing in the pulpit saying, "Jesus Christ has healed me." They don't know how it happened. They're running tests. But my liver is normal. And she lived many, many years. If God could do that for Sister Fern Holcomb, He's not a respecter of person. He doesn't just heal at random. He heals those that touch Him with faith. You believe God, and God is the God of His Word. Don't just come saying, I believe. Believe! Believe! He will take your diabetes away. He will take your heart murmur away. He will take that cancer right out of your body. He will do it. He will mend your broken heart. He will help you to be able to manage your finances. He will take that tumor out of your brain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Believe Him. Lord, if this is You that I feel right now, let me come and through these impossible waters. Let me see this deliverance. Let me be made whole. Lift me up. Walk with me. Let the weak say I'm strong. Hallelujah. Let the weak say I'm strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Nothing shall be impossible to those who believe. All things are possible with God. Hallelujah. I feel myself being healed right now. This morning I felt like every time I spoke that somebody was cutting my throat. Right now I feel like I could preach all night. Because God is doing a work in this place. God is doing a work in this place. Reach out and grab your blessing. Here's your basket of food. Eat all you want. I know it's stormy out there, but go ahead. Leave the boat and walk on the water tonight. God is here to meet your need. It is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My great-great-grandmother was dead. The sheep was over her head. She'd been dead for several hours. Her children gathered around the bed. They were sinners. And got down on their faces and prayed. And she threw that sheet off of her head and got out of that bed. And their prayer was, God, if somehow You'll give us our mama back, we'll serve You. He gave them their mama back, but they didn't serve Him. Hallelujah. Oh, she didn't live forever, but she didn't die right then. Oh, she'd been dead. Her arms were folded. There was no breath. But those sinner men were on their faces saying, God, if there's any way, I'm telling You, He's a God that specializes in impossible circumstances. I don't care who you are, how you've lived. If you believe Him, if you trust Him, He will perform a miracle in your life, in your family, at your house. Hallelujah! My God. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. He's a miracle-working God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This service is for the believer. This moment is for the believer. This tender moment with Jesus is for that person that has faith right now. Right now. No show business. No theatrics. No games. Just believe God. Tuesday night, come back with your testimony. He did what He said He would do. I was the holdback all the time. But when I touched Him, He healed me. Hallelujah. If I can but touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be made whole. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. Lord, I've been Your disciple for all this time. Yes, but do You believe me enough to trust me with the impossible? Are You my disciple to the point that You're willing to walk on the impossible waters? Are You willing to look only to Jesus to help You in this time? My Lord, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. My God, my God, my God. I baptized a lady in Jesus' name. It was not power of myself to cause this to happen, but this lady had tumors all over her body. She had big tumors all over her body. She announced to me before she was baptized, "I am afraid of water." But she said, "I'm determined to go down in Jesus' name." We were in West Monroe, Louisiana, and I remember how she trembled with those big tumors all over her body. I mean, it was just like big baseballs all over her arms and on her legs. She was tumor, just filled with tumors. She came trembling, scared to get in the water, afraid. She had that old spirit on her that gets on some people. They're not afraid to drink water, wash with water, but they're afraid of water when it comes to baptism. But she overcame that fear. She came wading down into that water, trembling. And I saw it. I saw it with my hands upon her shoulders. I baptized her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. She went down in that water with tumors. Amen. She came out of that water with the Holy Ghost, and every one of those tumors were gone. Every one of them. I'll never forget it. And just some time ago in Russia, this lady came up into the line where we were all praying, this Russian lady. And she kept saying, you know, I didn't know her language. And I looked and she had a withered hand, a withered hand. This is on that trip to Russia. This lady had a withered hand and it was a discolored hand. It was a hand that hadn't been functioning for years, you could tell. And she pointed to her hand and I said, "Do you want prayer for your hand?" She said, "Da, da, da." And she pointed to her hand. We started praying and I saw that hand take on color. Those fingers started moving. And I started saying, "Da, da, 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 da." Amen. And she went all over that building waving both of those hands. Hallelujah. And that same night, later that night, another Russian lady came up and I didn't know what she was saying. She was talking in my ears. She was talking real fast and saying things I couldn't understand because all the interpreters were busy. I didn't know what she was saying. She just kept talking and kept talking. She was excited, excited. I didn't know what it was. I finally got one of the interpreters to come up and tell me what's going on. He listened to her and he said, "This lady was standing back there when the lady was healed with a withered hand. She saw the healing. This lady had a big tumor on her neck. It had been there for years. And she felt, and the tumor was still there after all these miracles. And she was so disappointed. And she said that she came to this stage to talk to one of these preachers to ask, 'Why is my tumor still here?' And on her way up the steps on the stage, her tumor disappeared." That's what she was excited about. She was going, "Hey, hey, 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 I didn't know what she was saying. But God knew where she was in the crowd. God knew what her heart was saying. God, You healed them. What about me? What about me? What about my need? What about my hurt? What about my pain?" He can do that for a little Russian lady in the crowd. He can do that for you right here. Let's praise Him again. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Healing is not the ultimate of all things. But we don't talk about it as much as we should, probably. It's just as much a gift of God as the Holy Ghost. The same blood that was shed for the remission of sins By His stripes, ye are healed. With His stripes, you were healed. Two places in the Bible. One place says you are. The other says you were. And you don't have to be this type of person that says, hey, no matter what it looks like, I'm healed. No, if you're not healed yet, don't claim it. Don't do this name it and claim it stuff. Get real healing. We went to a service some time ago and this guy had a cancer on his face. He said, it's not really there. You think you see it, but it's not there because I'm healed. No, he wasn't healed yet. If you're healed, the cancer will be gone. The heart condition will be gone. Faith gets results. Yeah, but sometimes it takes a long time. Not necessarily. God has performed miracles. There wasn't an Adam till God made one out of mud.